Hi, I'm Susan Evans from SusanEvans.org, and today I'm going to talk about fasting and prayer, and I'm going to be talking about how to fast. There is another audio on reasons to fast, and this is the second audio about fasting, how to fast. Okay, there are different ways that you can fast, and those fastings can be like Daniel, chapter 10, verse 3, I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth. So he gave up pleasant food, which is probably desserts, and meat, and then also wine, that which gives pleasure, joy, or indulgence. In other words, those are the things he gave up because he felt he and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they decided to give up the luxuries of Babylon because their city and their temple had been burned with fire, and they felt that by indulging, it would be sin. So for that reason, they had what I would call a partial fast, and it was pleasing to the Lord, and God gave them incredible wisdom and insight. And Daniel was given the ability to interpret dreams and all this stuff so he could hear the heart of God. So fasting can be to give up a certain types of foods or things like that. Fasting can also be, you could do a half day fast. I have done quite a few half day fasts where in the morning I did not eat breakfast. Okay, I did have a cup of coffee. And then I did not eat at all until noon. And for most of the time, I do half-day fasts to pray for concerns for somebody. There's one specific person that I'm lifting up before the Lord. For example, this past week, I did a half-day fast for a woman in my church whose marriage is on the rocks. And I want her marriage to be healed. I want it with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want it with everything in me. I want her marriage to be healed. And therefore, I set aside a whole morning. So it was from first thing in the morning to noon. And so I prayed, I set aside that time to pray. Now, other times I have had a half day fast when a meeting was happening in the morning, like a big showdown between people who the enemy had done a wrecking work in their life and they needed reconciliation and restitution between them. And it was a huge deal. And so I set aside that time because a meeting was happening in the morning of a particular day. So as soon as I got up in the morning, I ate nothing until noon, setting aside that entire time to pray and fast before the Lord for healing in a relationship between a man and his father who I care about very much, that restitution and reconciliation to take place. Another time I have fasted before the Lord, half day fast. In fact, many times I've done a half day fast when I meet once a week with a prayer group where we lay our requests before the Lord, and sometimes we will fast together, and all of us will fast, a half day fast, and then we're there and we get on the floor before the Lord. We beg with 100% of our being, all of us with our face to the floor, begging God for whatever it is. And as soon as we're done and it's after noon, and then we eat something and then we rejoice in the Lord. Usually half day fasts, I've done probably more than 10, but less than 20 half day fasts. And I've only been, discovering the whole key of fasting within the past 2 years. So it's the most common one that I have done, and I'm willing to do it for more people. Like the woman from my church, is not a super close friend, and yet because my heart was moved by the Spirit for her, I knew that at minimum I needed to set aside a morning, and I knew she was meeting with a counselor that day. So I cared, and I sacrificed food to show God I was serious, that I wanted her marriage healed. So I needed a breakthrough for her. I wanted it as if it was for me. So anyways, but a lot of those half-day fasts, what happens is there were some that were on the spur of the moment. Something came up, and we were meeting together to pray. And so I forewent food so that when we came together to pray, it would be super intense. Like, boom, the Holy Spirit comes and moves, okay? So the intensity of prayer with others can be off the charts if all of the people that are meeting together with prayer have fasted since morning, okay? And I have felt several times that when I was running a homeschool conference and I was homeschooling my kids, and I was doing a lot, and it was impossible for me to set aside a whole morning to fast. It was impossible to, I mean, I'm talking about prayer and fasting, and yet I felt God calling me to do it. And so, and I asked him, do you want me just to drop everything? Because I know that you have put before me these things that I'm required to do. And so if the Lord had prompted me that I had to set aside everything to pray continuously the whole morning, I would have done so. And that's what I normally do. But there were some days that I've done a half day fast where I just went without food. As soon as I woke up in the morning, I prayed before the Lord for like an hour for that person or situation. And then I went ahead and taught chemistry to my high school kids. And then I prayed again and lifted that person before the Lord of that situation. And then I went and I did what I needed to do for the conference to prepare. And then I lifted that person up before the Lord because I was fasting. So my stomach, the hurting of my stomach reminded me to pray. When my husband fasted, he had to go to work. And so he writes code, computer code all day. So the fact that he was fasting, God accepted his fasting before him. He wasn't allowed to take the day off, so he had to work. He was required by God to work. So there are some days that you will fast before the Lord and spend the entire time praying. I have done that. The majority of the time, that's what I do. But there are other times where the reason God wanted me to fast was for intense prayer with others who had fasted also, and then release us after that intense time of prayer. Okay, so I was doing my normal chores and normal things that I was required by God to do in the morning. I met together with these women, we prayed, boom, and then we were released. Okay, so it can just be half a day. In your own life, if you feel that a full day is too much, you can try with half day. Like I said, you should always drink water. I don't believe that you should fast without water. You can have medical problems. Even one day without water, especially if the temperature is really high, can cause medical problems. So minimum, you need to have water. You obviously fasting is no food. I'm talking about not the partial fast like what Daniel was saying, but I'm talking about fasting before the Lord where your stomach hurts, where you're seeking the Lord and emptying yourself. There's to be no food. I had a two three-day fasts that I've done the past 3 months, in which all I had was water and coffee. Now, the reason I have coffee is because if I did not have coffee, my head would feel like it was bursting open and I would be distracted from prayer. And the whole point is to pray with 100% of my being, with undistracted heart. So So I do have coffee. Now, if you feel convicted not to have coffee, you need to obey God. But God has blessed every single time that I've fasted. And my restricted fasting, the 3 days, was just water only. And then the coffee in the morning to prevent the splitting headache. What you could do is you could get off coffee and then get back on coffee. I don't know. I don't consider coffee as a sin, even though it is an addiction, obviously, if you have a headache from it. But I have presented it before the Lord, and I feel joy and freedom to drink coffee. So that is not, it's not a sin to me. Of course, I don't have, you don't indulge. Like if you have, if you normally have a glass of wine and it's not sin for you, then you would give up that glass of wine if you were fasting. If you're on a fast, there's no way you can have an alcoholic beverage or a fizzy drink or something like that. Those are fun drinks. Fun drinks are not supposed to be, you're not supposed to indulge. That's the whole point, is you're supposed to be seeking the Lord with all your heart. Like I said in my previous audio, some of the fasts, especially my first few, I had juices, and it just, it depends, you know, you could purposely buy yucky juice that just tastes really bad, and you have to, like, you know, pinch your nose just to drink the stupid carrot juice or whatever. That's fine if you want to do that. I drank some seaweed juice that had green in it and a lot of fruits and vegetables crushed. Then that's kind of like, I know some people argue that that is, food, but when I drink that, my stomach hurts really, really badly and continues to hurt. And so it causes me to seek the Lord with all my heart with intensity. So it does not interfere. So it just depends on how intensely you're seeking the Lord, how severe your restriction is, whether it's just water or whether it's water and juices. And then, of course, coffee. Now, there's a book that I read called The Beginner's Guide to Fasting by Elmer Towns. I wrote a bunch of notes, which I would like to share with you today, because it shows how to fast, but it also has a lot of reasoning behind it, and how, and people in scripture, how did they fast, what did they do, what was the result of their fasting, and that kind of thing. And it was very enlightening, really good book. He has another one, Fasting for Spiritual Breakthrough, which I have not read, which I want to read at some point. And if I do, I'll do another audio about that, because I'm sure that will make another difference in my life, because I have actually had spiritual breakthroughs as a result of fasting. So I'm certain that that is actually a reality. Okay. So, I shared in the previous audio that, fasting, is usually from sundown to sundown. So if you have a 1 day fast, a lot of the fasts that I've done have been 1 day fasts where I seek the Lord with all my heart for 1 day. And I've done a 3 day fast as well, because, actually I said before the Lord, Lord, I'm going to seek you, and I do not want to eat again ever until you answer me. Because I was asking for the root cause of misery in my life that was just awful. And then after 3 days, God showed me what the answer was. So God answers. You ask him a question, you seek him with all your heart, and he answers you in your soul. So fasting is a predetermined length of time for a spiritual purpose. Once a year, the Jews were required to fast. That's in Leviticus 16:29 on the Day of Atonement. Everyone went without eating. That is men, women, and children. Every single human fasted from sundown to sundown. So God commanded his people to fast, all of them. And none of them was going to die, no. And all of them had food in their stomach before it was sundown. So they slept on a full stomach or at least not terribly hungry. And then the following day they could eat after sundown. So they slept on a full stomach. So it's just the daytime that they had to seek the Lord with all their hearts and humble themselves before God and confess their sins. And this is a good discipline to have. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Fast to show sorrow for your sins, and you are to do no work, is what God said about the Day of Atonement. You are to do no work, you are to seek the Lord. So that's why for me, when I fast, I set aside the day to pray continuously. Like I said, there are some people who are required by God to work, sometimes two jobs or whatever, and that is God's will, and they're unable to set aside the day, but somehow in the back of their minds, they are raising up that issue before the Lord. They're praying every spare moment. They pray before the Lord. Maybe at lunchtime when they're eating, they're praying about it. Or they take a walk around their workplace or something and they pray. And then they get back to work. So they the hunger... Oh, wait. No, they're not eating lunch. Instead of eating lunch, they're praying because they're fasting. What I'm talking about is you can still pray off and on throughout the day, dedicating the day to the Lord while fasting, if you are required by God to continue working on work that requires your brain. And so it's like pray without ceasing. Yes, it's a continual state of yielding to the Lord, and yet you are required to continue living, you know. And a lot of times, you know, like right now when I'm speaking and I have these notes in front of me, all these scripture verses and everything, I mean, it's hard to be, I can't be praying simultaneously while I am speaking, although I do cry out to the Lord. My heart is connected to the Lord. So I suppose that is, you know, connecting to the Lord, and that is what prayer is. But anyway, there's a lot of leeway as to how you can fast, is what I'm saying. Feasts were also commanded by the Lord, so there's nothing wrong with food in and of itself. God created food for the sustenance of our bodies, and He expects us to eat in order to continue living. It's only when God calls us to fast, or we want more of God, or we have a question for God, or we've been praying about something He has not answered, or we have bondage to sin that we can't get rid of, or any of those reasons that I mentioned in my previous audio. So we are not under the law, but under grace. So we're not forced to fast. Nobody has to, okay? But like I said previously, Jesus said, when you fast, do this or that, Matthew 6:16. Also, when Jesus was with the Pharisees said, why do John the Baptist's disciples fast and your disciples don't fast, Jesus? And Jesus said, oh, the bridegroom is with them right now, but when the bridegroom leaves, they will fast. So Jesus said that when He leaves, which He did, He went up into heaven, they will fast. So Jesus said that we will fast. And He also said, when you fast, okay? He Himself fasted. He said to the disciples, this demon does not come out but through prayer and fasting. So Jesus taught about prayer and fasting. The Old Testament people fasted. Ezra fasted with 4,000 people to solve a problem. He needed to travel from Babylon down to Jerusalem with no bodyguards. And so he fasted and prayed before the Lord that God would protect him, because he had said to the king that he did not need any protection because God would protect him. So then he was wanted to make sure that God would honor that request. Esther asked her people to fast for God to intervene, not only on behalf of her, but on behalf of all the people that were going to be annihilated and killed. And the people fasted for 3 days, and then she presented herself to the king after 3 days of fasting. There's something about threes in scripture. Twice I've done a 3-day fast and I felt released after the third day. So I don't know what that was about. I'll tell you more as I learn it. I will continue to make audios for the rest of my life about prayer. Hopefully there'll be hundreds and hundreds of audios about prayer for every different facet of prayer and how to deepen it, how to have more of God, how to get breakthroughs in your life over sin, etc. Yes, and yet we're not to show off our fasting. Matthew 6:16 and 17 and 18 says that we are not to boast about fasting. People shouldn't even know, except, well, I mean, because I was fasting with these other women in this prayer group, we all knew each other were fasting. Like, for example, we were praying for the salvation of one of the women in our group. And actually that was more than just a half day fast. That was a full day fast. And oh my goodness, I prayed that previous night as soon as it was nightfall, I prayed mightily in the spirit and I felt that this electricity going through my body and through my arms for 3 solid hours. It was incredible, the power of more than one person fasting. And I'm going to do another audio about fasting with other people because it's way more powerful as well. But there's sometimes, like in my own life, that there was something personal in my own life that I couldn't tell anybody else. And I was seeking the Lord for the root problem of something. And so I was seeking the Lord and restricted. I mean, that's when I did my 3-day fast for the first time, and I had no juices because I wanted God to answer me. I wanted him to answer me. He must answer me or I die. That's how I felt, okay? So if you are in that position, fast, and God will show up. God will show up the first day of the 3-day fast. I went outside and I looked far away and it was crystal clear far away. And that's impossible because I wear glasses and it's been blurry far away for many years. So I saw that God was clearing my vision. See, fasting clears your vision and helps you to see with spiritual sight. Okay. And that is something you want. Trust me, it's something you want. You don't want to be going the wrong direction. You don't want to be doing the wrong thing with your life. You don't want your will. You want God's will. God's will is the best will for you, and it's a better will than you would ever dream up for yourself. So let's see. And statistics demonstrate that short-term fasting is actually good for us. During a fast, we eliminate poisons and toxins from the body. So it's good for your body to do a 1-day fast. When you fast, expect resistance. Our spiritual enemy, the devil, will oppose you. Okay. Some of these are quotes from Elmer Towns, from the Beginner's Guide to Fasting. Like I said, a lot of these, some of them I quote verbatim, others I just wrote down some notes. But yes, expect resistance. The enemy despises fasting and will try to prevent you from fasting. Fasting is a non-required discipline where you alter your diet for a spiritual reason and accompany the experience with prayer. So once again, it's fasting is a non-required discipline, so you don't have to do it, where you alter your diet. There are many kinds of fasts. For a spiritual reason, there's many reasons to fast, but this is a spiritual reason, and accompany the experience with prayer. Joel 2:12. Now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Fast with repentance as well as sincerity. God may turn and relent and leave a blessing as a result of the fast. That's in Joel 2:13 through 14. So you seek God with all your heart. Often, if not always, fasting is accompanied by tears. It has weeping and mourning involved, and it's usually because one time I prayed for the salvation of an extended family member, and I prayed and I set aside 24 hours. I said, I just prayed for whatever. I had just prayed for the insomnia of my husband. And I thought to myself, after God answered that prayer, I thought, oh my goodness, did all I have to do is give up food and I can have this person can be saved? I will give up food. I will not go another day. I will not go another day without fasting for this person I love to be saved and her husband. And so I did. I fasted before the Lord because I was convicted that God moved powerfully the previous time that I fasted. And that was what I alluded to in my previous audio, that my husband and I fasted before the Lord because he had a sleep problem for years, and it was getting worse. It was making him so haggard he could barely function. And I said, Lord, I've had it. And I was reading a book about fasting, and I'm just like, Lord, do you want me to fast? And I felt like I needed to fast. I knew I needed to fast. And actually, I told my husband, will you fast with me about your insomnia? And for some reason, he said yes. I couldn't believe it because I used a whole bunch of scripture. He loves scripture, my husband. And so I used tons of scripture to prove to him that fasting is solid, that God commands it, and that Jesus endorsed it, and that God followed through and answered over and over in scripture. When people fasted, he blessed, boom, poured down blessings. And sometimes it was instantaneous, sometimes it was not instantaneous, sometimes it took months or whatever, and then he answered. That has happened in many of my friends' lives and my own as well, that the answer comes, and it began coming. Like with Daniel, he prayed and fasted before the Lord, and then the answer was coming, but it was impeded by a demon or something, and so it didn't come to pass until later, the answer to Daniel's request to the Lord. So just because you fast and God answers immediately, you might not see the result of it until several months or even, I don't know, maybe even a year later. I don't know. I don't know about the time lag. It's up to the Lord. But it often breaks through. So we fasted about that. And then God laid it on the hearts of these gray-haired people at our church to pray for to pay for sleep study. We got the sleep study done, and he was empowered. He knew that he did not have sleep apnea, and then he had a skill set of how to get himself to sleep and to stay asleep and all that. And so there were lots of different strategies that he had in place, and so his sleep became much better after that. So God answered in a miraculous way after years of my begging God, and he didn't hear, and I'm like, Lord, what is up with that? What is up with that? And so when we fasted together, and so as soon as it was nightfall, my husband and I prayed together with all of our hearts, soul, mind, and strength. And we prayed throughout that evening. We went to bed the next day. We prayed. We set aside the whole time to pray. I think that was a Saturday that we did that. So we still did our chores or whatever, but I was praying intensely the whole time. And then we prayed together every once in a while throughout the day. And then as soon as it was nightfall, then my husband and I, we actually went on a date and went out to eat after nightfall to celebrate the first time that we fasted together. So that was kind of sweet, actually. This is kind of funny, but one time I was fasting and I set aside the time 24 hours, and I was weeping and fasting before the Lord. And I had a date night with my husband. We were just going to go to a river and walk around or something. And I was waiting for it to be nightfall, and it wasn't nightfall yet. It was kind of dusk-ish. And there was this big bag of Cheetos, and I love Cheetos. There was this big bag of Cheetos that was unopened that my husband had got for me several days before. And it was strange because when I was on the fast, it was harder for me knowing that the Cheetos were in the cupboard. If the Cheetos weren't in the cupboard, I wouldn't have cared. But for some reason, and this was after I had fasted many, many different times. And so I thought, that's interesting. But then I grabbed the Cheeto bag and threw it in the car because as soon as it was nightfall, I would pull open the bag and eat some Cheetos. And my husband thought that was hilarious. He was laughing and making fun of me. He says, oh, should I open the Cheetos and blow the air in your direction? Because it wasn't nightfall yet. And I'm like, you wouldn't. So anyways, so we joke, you know, as I was going out on a date at the tail end of the fasting that I was doing for somebody. I can't remember which one that was, but I was waiting for the sun to go down completely. Let's see. According to the Jewish timetable, a day began at sundown and ended the next day at sundown. Genesis 1:5b. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So even back in Genesis, during the creation of the world, it was established the evening and the morning is a day. So the evening begins the day. So you skip dinner, or you can eat right before sundown, and then you skip breakfast and lunch. So it's a one-day Jewish fast. So it's no food, just liquids. God told Elijah to eat before he ended up fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. That's in 1 Kings 19, 76 through 78. So he needed to eat. God provided for him supernaturally. It wasn't through a raven this particular time. I think that an angel prepared some food and gave it to him. This was like, I think it was right after the whole thing with Jezebel chasing him after the fire from heaven consumed the sacrifice with the 400 Baal worshipers and stuff. Anyway, when you've come off a high, like if you've come off a spiritual victory, often the enemy attacks and deflates you and stabs you and punches you in the gut. That has happened to me so many times, and also to other believers that I know. It's happened to them as well. So expect it, because if you are being effective for God's kingdom, you will be punched in the stomach by the enemy. But if you know his tactics, then it doesn't have to affect you anymore. Okay, so you fast for a reason. You need a specific purpose for fasting, a single purpose. Okay, so you make the commitment to fast one day no matter what. Don't just say, I'll try it until I get hungry. No, you're supposed to get hungry. You make that commitment that you're going to fast and then do it. Follow through. The desire is the first step. We want to touch God. We must touch God is the second step. So first you want something, and then you must have something. So it's giving up something to seek God in its place. Paul fasted for 3 days, Acts 9:9, neither food nor water. That's an absolute fast. It's extreme, has extreme physical consequences. It could be dangerous. So I recommend drinking water, definitely drinking water. So the normal fast is for people to take liquids. Jesus fasted as well. The enemy tried to come in and tempt him during the fasting. Isaiah 58:3, they afflicted themselves and fasted. So The best thing about fasting is that you get to know God better. You get to know God himself rather than his gifts. You're praying to get more of God rather than more of something that you're asking. Although I ask for the gift too. Like I prayed for him to overcome his insomnia. I'm talking about my husband. I was also directed by God to switch what I was saying. When I was begging God in the spirit while fasting for my husband in prayer, God specifically instructed me that it wasn't about sleep, it was about gratefulness. So I thought, huh, that's interesting. So I prayed really hard that he would be thankful or whatever, and that was the core of what was causing the insomnia. Isn't that interesting? So God can sometimes show you the root of what's causing something, a problem. And I wasn't even asking for the root. I was asking, well, no, I was asking why as well. I did. I asked, I said, what is causing Alan not to sleep? I asked God that. And then I waited in silence before the Lord. Also, I asked, what can I do to help Alan sleep? And there were many ideas that came. For example, intimacy or not talking about business or helping him to exercise, like encouraging him to, let's go walking by the river. Then he gets some exercise, and exercise is known to help with sleep. So there's lots of different practical ways that I can build as his wife, help him to be able to sleep, how to reduce his stress at work. Does he need to switch jobs to reduce financial stress? What can we do about that? And brainstorm before the Lord, have lots of blank space and wait upon the Lord while fasting, and he will give you wisdom. If you ask the Lord for wisdom, he will give it to you. James chapter 1. So, like, is there anything else we can do for income to reduce the financial stress on our family? Are there spiritual issues keeping Alan from sleeping? And I asked the Lord about that, and I wrote down a bunch of stuff. So it's really enlightening and interesting if you kind of brainstorm questions about the thing that you're fasting about. Now, if you're just fasting for someone's salvation, you can pray all kinds of ways, but also pray what you can do. Pray that God will empower you with the right words to say. And maybe on the very day that you're fasting, maybe God will have you phone that person and he will empower you through his spirit to be able to speak to that person. I don't know. God didn't prompt me on the day that I fasted for an unconverted person and her husband, but yeah. Anyways, okay. So let's see, to fly as an eagle, Isaiah 40:31, you have to have vision and courage to follow through on what God requires you to do. The higher a bird flies, the less pull gravity has upon it. If you go high enough, you'll experience no gravity at all. The gravity pull of sin and deviousness will lose its hold over you. Okay, so it's like the higher you soar, through fasting, the bonds of sin are broken loose and they fall to the ground and you are more free. I get strength when I wait upon the Lord. I take action in faith. Fasting to listen to God. You slow down your system, become more quiet so you can hear God. Take time away from your routine so you can focus undivided attention on him. So quiet and focused. God doesn't speak if the hearer isn't listening. That's a quote from Elmer Towns's book on fasting. God cannot pour himself into a full vessel, but into an empty vessel. How do we empty ourselves? Number one, repent. Number two, yield. Number three, seek God. Number four, beg. Number five, pray in faith. So how do we empty ourselves? We repent from our sin, we yield to God, we seek him, we beg him for what we are asking, and we pray in faith. It is when we desire and expect his presence that we receive a divine visitation. I must be empty for God to fill me. I guess when I'm hungry, I realize my need for God more, so I'm more desperate in my prayers, so my prayers are not lukewarm, okay? Jesus said in the book of Revelation that if we are lukewarm in our prayers, that he spews us out and he can't stand it. So either be hot or cold. If you're not going to pray with all your heart, just, I don't know. I mean, what's the point then? David fasted and prayed because of the child that he begot with Bathsheba, but God did not answer his prayer because taking the child's life was punishment for his crimes of adultery and the murder of Uriah. So it's possible if you fast before the Lord that God will not answer your prayers, but there's a reason for it. But you know what? Fast anyway, okay? Because you don't know what the will of God is, and you could have an answer, and then furthermore, you get closer to God anyway. So even if you're wrong, if you fast before the Lord, open yourself up completely to the Lord. Now, you need to be completely rid of all known sin. If you regard iniquity in my heart, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So I must have no sin that I know of that is unconfessed. So confess it, repent of it, and then also forgive other people their sin. If you hold anything against anyone, forgive it, confess it, turn it over to God and forgive them, because God will not forgive you unless you forgive others. So you can't actually have a conversation with God. You can't be close, really super close to God like this, unless you have all of your sin confessed that you know about. Ask God for unconfessed sin, open your heart, and God will show you more sin, and then you can repent of it. The less sin you have, the more of God you can hold, and you don't want sin. Sin separates you from God anyway. So you can also praise God and thank him, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Psalm 100 verse 4, God enthrones the praises of Israel. Psalm 22:3, you worship with a correct attitude. It's better even through fasting. So you can praise through the Psalms. Use the Psalms to praise and fast. And so these are some of the instructions on how to fast. So hopefully you know how to fast. I will be doing another audio about fasting with other people and what happens when you fast and how to get breakthroughs from God through fasting. I'm Susan Evans from SusanEvans.org. Thanks for listening.